I don't know why, but that sounded a lot better this morning than it usually does. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. And if you are a visitor with us, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. We hope that you have a meaningful worship experience with us this morning and that you will come back to visit us often. Ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance in the attendance pads as they are passed down the pew. If you'll pass them down to the outside and then back to the inside, and the person on the center aisle, please tear those off and place them in the offering plate later in the service. Reminder to United Methodist women that the United Methodist Women General Meeting will be tomorrow, February the 20th, at 12 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. All women are encouraged to attend that meeting. United Methodist Men will be meeting Tuesday night, the 21st, at 5:30. Gene Utz will be presenting the program that night. You can indicate that you will be attending by using the reservation cards in the pews. Also, we will be continuing with our Wednesday night gathering series. Reverend Dennis will be continuing with his Bible study on the book of Acts, and Lee Roberge will be continuing with our alternate program, which is an exercise program. So again, you can use the reservation cards in the pews for making reservations for the Wednesday night gatherings. And now I want to call Kelly up. Kelly promises that she is not going to give you a singing lesson again this morning, but she does have something she'd like to say.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to welcome the Mars Hill College Choir and Chamber Singers this morning to our worship. They are under the direction of Joel Reed. And on the organ this morning is Kathy Adkins, who's playing in Joyce Nichols' absence today. And we're pleased to have everybody here. And I want to take a moment and tell you the music that they will be sharing with us this morning, since it's not printed in your bulletin. They will be singing an introit called God of Grace and God of Glory by Paul Langston. Then they will sing Francis Poulenc's Gloria, two movements from that, the Gloria in Excelsis and La Domus Te. And they will sing the Schubert Mass in G, the first movement, the Gloria, and that will feature Melina Whittington, soprano soloist, and Josh Dillingham, baritone soloist. And you're going to love this one, an arrangement of Precious Lord, Take My Hand, arranged by Schrader. And we have a duet for the offertory, Mendelssohn's I Waited for the Lord by Allison Fields, soprano, and Mandy Sales, mezzo-soprano. And then they will finish off with a benediction this morning, which Jim will ask you to be seated for. It's Hallelujah, but it's not the Hallelujah that you're thinking of. It's Beethoven's Hallelujah, and I know you're going to enjoy it very much. So sit back and enjoy the beautiful music this morning.
Bye. Please stand and join me in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, for the Lord is doing a new thing. You perceive it? Let us not look back to Eden, but take the way God carves through the wilderness. Let us not yearn for the milk and honey of the promised land, but drink the water God brings forth from the desert. Let us not dwell on old Exodus stories, for a new Moses leads us to freedom. And this Moses shall put God's law within us and write it upon our hearts, and the Lord shall be our God, and we shall be God's people.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Please join me in the invocation printed in your bulletin. Pathmaker God, prepare the way that we should go. Make straight your paths. Long we have burdened you with our pettiness. Long we have wearied you with our sin. But now, as you set us upon the road, you are blazing into the new age. You promise that you will not hold the old age against us. You have formed us to follow you into your kingdom, O God. May your faithfulness to us inspire our devotion to you. Amen. At this time, we would like to invite all the children down front for children's time with Kelly Mullenix.
Come on in and gather around. The very first song that the choir sang this morning was called God of Grace and God of Glory. The words were, God of Grace, God of Glory, on thy people pour thy power. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the facing of these hours, for the facing of this hour. And I want to talk a little bit about strength and power that God gives us. Maybe you can help me name some people in the Bible who God gave strength to or courage to in a time of need. Any ideas? Yes? Daniel? Who else?
Moses.
Moses. Daniel and the lion's den. David and Goliath. Samson, yeah, lots of people in the Bible God gave courage to. You know, in the Bible it says, in the book of Psalms, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my strength. And I want you to remember that God doesn't extend that kind of strength just to the people in the Bible, but he also gives it to us. And I want you to remember that whenever you're in a situation where you might be afraid or need some courage or strength, that you can just say a prayer, the Lord is my strength, and God will be there with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for these children and for what they bring to this church and ministry here at Main Street. I ask that whenever they are in a time of need, they will not be afraid to ask for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we come to our time for prayer, first of all, I ask that you pray for my voice, that I make it through the sermon. And if I do not, I have typed out notes and I've asked several people. I'm sure one of them will step forward and finish it. You know who you are. We do have a Thanksgiving today, and that is that we welcome a new member, Nancy Bagwell, who transfers from First United Methodist in Easley. And we will ask you to welcome her today. We also have several concerns. One is Lisa Castro's mother, who'd been ill for a very long time, passed away on Thursday. Her name, Mary Holroy. And also, not in the list of concerns, but a concern, Cecil Browning, longtime member, fell and broke his pelvis this past week and is in self-hospital. And I'm sure we need to keep him especially in our prayers as they decide what treatment is most appropriate for his situation. As we continue to go down our list of concerns, please remember Bill Chalmers, who's been in the hospital this past week, should be going home soon, we hope. John Reed, Patty Nichols' father, recovering from surgery. Helen Taylor, Joyce Bartless, Beth Gray, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falaw, David Abney, and Bet McCord Bly. Let us take these concerns and our own personal concerns and thanksgivings together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, eternal friend and lover of our souls, we thank you for the warmth of knowing that you know us inside out and love us still. For your great love and forgiveness and healing of our wounded souls, we give you thanks. As a true friend, you travel with us from mountaintop to dark valley below. And we feel your nearness when we allow your love and grace to flow through us. We feel the cold chill when we turn away in bitterness and selfishness and hate. We feel your encouragement when we are the ones who must step up and step out in faith. Help us build up a community of faith and compassion, a community of goodwill and warmth within this church. Help us build up all the good things that we have taken from you so that we can give them out to others in your name. Lead us outward with our faith and not confuse your love as a personal and private possession for ourselves alone. Hand in hand, we gather. Heart to heart, we pray for one another, and yet walls remain. Walls and distinctions of the world keep us from knowing and sharing and befriending others as you have befriended us in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we know that we are not alone. You are with us. Let those who visit here know the same warmth through us. Lead us to share our faith and invitation to all those we know. Let our love be not kept a secret. Let our faith not be kept a secret. Let our witness and invitation be genuine, both here and at work and at home and wherever we go. Now, Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts, our thanksgivings, our confessions, our concerns, as we lift them up before you in silence in our hearts. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Though it is not in the order, let us now pass the peace. Featured music. Thank you. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, giver of all good things, we thank you for your many gifts and for enough for every good cause, and for enough to return unto you. We pray that you bless these tithes, these returns, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let him down on a pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak thus? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, and Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question thus in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to this paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home." And he rose and immediately took up his pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Continue to pray for my voice. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been paralyzed by fear? I mean, tried to scream out a warning, but nothing came out. That happened to me one night when I was at Wofford College and I was riding with a friend. And I was in the back seat of his car, and he was approaching and not slowing down, and went right through, at nighttime, a busy four-way intersection in front of Converse College. He just went right through the red light. And I wanted to yell out, "Stop! Red light! Idiot!" But nothing came out. I just went, "Ugh!" I couldn't speak. In fact, when I made the noise, he turned around and said, "What?" as he went under the red light. Now, friends like that can get you killed. Fear, our emotions, and our bodies are connected more than we think. In ancient Judaism, they thought that all disease was the fault of some secret sin and was a punishment from God. So from their point of view, first the sick man should be forgiven and then healed. And I've been thinking about this, and I don't want to give the impression that I believe this, but to be honest, some disease is behavior related and is our fault. And sometimes guilt and the stress of guilt of a secret sin can make you physically ill. And so even now, this odd little story relating forgiveness and healing does have some depth to ponder. It reminds me of Psalm 32, verse 4. Day and night you punished me, Lord. My strength was completely drained, as moisture is dried up by the summer heat. Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave. You forgave all my sins. Guilt can sap our energy. It can paralyze us with the fear of being found out, of being punished, of being judged. We can also be paralyzed by anger and betrayal so that we promise ourselves we will never, ever trust anyone again. And so we make ourselves broken and alone and cut off from all possible friendship, friends who might support us. Kent Myers wrote in a novel called The River Warren. In it, one of the characters, a woman, says, and listen to this, you can think too much about the past. It can be like a chain that stakes you and you run around it at the end of it and trample your whole life bare. You can think too much of the past. Yes, you can. We can be paralyzed also by bad habits, routines that keep us from responding to the God who makes all things new. And maybe God is calling us to new things and new behaviors, but we just keep doing the same old, because it's comfortable. Sin isolates. It separates. Sin is selfishness without joy. Sin is the promise of freedom, but instead it enslaves us. It paralyzes us so that we cannot move or grow toward God or grow toward others. It cuts us off and it withers our souls. You can be paralyzed emotionally or spiritually or, in fact, physically. Now back to the gospel here. Picture this house filled with people who wanted to be near Jesus and maybe get something from Jesus. And homes back then were more or less, they had flat roofs. And some commentaries say that the roof had ceramic or terracotta tiles of the type that I have seen on a mission trip in Africa. In Africa, these tiles were very heavy and they stacked on top of each other and they were not nailed down in any way. An entire house had just the weight of one tile upon another overlapping that kept them in place. They were not nailed down, so you could just move them out of the way and lower the body down into the house and then put them back later. Now, some other commentators say the house might have had a dirt and a straw roof that they had to dig through. I don't know. Whichever way it was, the friends went to a lot of trouble keeping the makeshift stretcher level as they climbed up there and then fastening ropes and lowering their motionless friend down. These were friends. These were really good friends. Wouldn't you like to have some friends who would do this? I'll tell you, if that is the definition of friendship, I'm not sure that I have very many friends. I've thought about it. I have only one friend in the world who I can call up and say, meet me at the airport, bring $10,000 cash and your passport, and he would say, what time? That's a friend. Now, I saw an email funny last week, and it said, a really good friend will help you move a body. That's bad. Now, in a way, these four friends were moving a body. A paralyzed body that tradition at the time taught was caused by some sin, some punishment from God. Now many of us, we can picture this in our minds because we saw pictures of this in our old Sunday school books. It's high drama. The frail man being lowered on ropes through the stretcher in the crowded house where Jesus is teaching. It's actually, if you look at it, a very funny story. The noisy crowd pushing their way into this little house, and Jesus trying to teach and trying to talk over all the confusion, and all of a sudden some dust falls from the ceiling and these four faithful friends are lowering a stretcher and breaking in line. All these other people ahead. I can imagine Jesus just saying, you know, what next? What next? Back to the friends. I have preached this verse, these verses for over 20 years, but I'm always seeing new things. I'm a slow learner. And new important things. The faith that led to this man's forgiveness, and more importantly, his forgiveness and his healing together, it was not his faith. It was the faith of his friends, it says so, that impressed Jesus. It plainly says in verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. So how important are friends? If you read the story closely, you discover the man's forgiveness and his healing was based upon not his faith, but he was forgiven and healed because of the faith of his friends. The man is cured and forgiven because of the faith of his friends. We all need other people in our lives. Other people pulling for us and praying for us and carrying us when we can't go. Remember that God said to Adam, or said about Adam, it is not good that man should be alone. To one degree or another, we all need other people around us to share our joys and to bear our sorrows and sometimes to intervene for us. I'll never forget reading my grandmother's journals after she died. She kept up with the weather as a hobby. When the weather came on at Meemaw's house, you had to be quiet. That's what she watched. You could talk through the editorials, but you had to be quiet through the weather. Now, she knew full well that Hurricane Hugo was coming and was headed right toward the South Carolina coast, where my parents and two brothers at the time lived, less than 1 mile from the ocean. And I called and I spoke to them and I ranted and I raved. I said, get out of there. But they stayed. Now, Meemaw knew that Hugo was headed their way, and I wanted to see what she wrote in her journal. Well, she wrote with certainty of faith, just one sentence. She says, I have prayed for them and I know they will be all right. And that was that. It is good to have friends and family who have faith on your behalf, pray on your behalf, and sometimes faith that carries you when you don't have any. We need God and we need each other. Here in this church, we are supposed to be friends in faith, supporting one another, and if need be, carrying one another, intervening. A story is told as true that at a Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants assembled at the starting line of the 100-yard dash. And they all started out with the zeal to finish and to win, all except one little boy who stumbled and tumbled and fell flat and began to cry. The other 8 slowed down and they looked back. Then they turned back and they went back, and every one of them comforted this boy who had fallen. In the middle of the race, one girl bent down and kissed him and said, you'll feel better. Then all 9 linked arms and they walked together across the finish line. Everyone in the stands stood and cheered for several minutes. In the gospel, the impressive faith and forwardness of 4 friends gained forgiveness and healing for their paralyzed buddy in need. They believed in God, in God's power to heal body and soul through Jesus Christ, and they believed in supporting each other. Have you ever seen a sequoia tree? I've only seen pictures, but they grow to be huge. I've read that these sequoia trees, they have a surprising fact about them, that they have very shallow roots. But these sequoia trees grow in groves and their roots are intertwined. If one grew by itself, a wind could blow it over, but they grow in groves with roots intertwined so that they can withstand wind and storm. Their strength is in all the trees supporting one another. Not isolated individuals who happen to grow side by side as we happen to sit side by side in pews. But they are together. supporting one another. Folks, we need to know each other so we can pray for each other. We need to intervene for each other and support and hold each other accountable and let each other know that we are missed when we are gone. Another big point here is the scribes who say, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Indeed, who can? Barclay, commentator, says that Jesus was flinging down a challenge to the religious experts because Jesus was saying that, yes, I am God's Messiah. I have the power of God in flesh. I can forgive. He was not just a healer. And Jesus is never presented as a mere miracle worker. The miracles are incidental. The gospel wants us to know who this Jesus is, and this story tells us who indeed can forgive sins but God alone. And the point seems to be that God can do both physical and spiritual healing, and Jesus can do both because Jesus has and is the power of and the person of God in flesh. It is a scandalous proclamation, but this is what we proclaim. This is the good news, that God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. Which is easier, to heal or to forgive? I wonder. You know, the paralyzed man could have been healed and could have been able to walk again, and he still could have walked away from God, right? There is more to life than these bodies, and we have more need of healing than just an infirmity here or there. We need healing and cleansing of our souls. We are broken in our souls. And that thought started me thinking a little deeper. How can you tell if a paralyzed man is healed? Well, it's easy. He gets up and he walks. Now listen closely. How can you tell if someone knows they are forgiven? How can you tell? I think a forgiven woman or a forgiven man, you can tell because they themselves are forgiving to others. And didn't Jesus teach just that, to forgive as you are forgiven? Sometimes people wonder, does God forgive me or will God forgive me? Well, the truth is that the forgiveness offered to us in Jesus is the single most important thing in our lives. Without it, we have nothing, and with it, we have everything. Remember, we were created in the image of God, But we are not God. We are humans and we are sinful. But having been created in the image of God, we are meant to be in fellowship with our Creator. And that's the way we were made. And when something isn't right about our relationship with God, then nothing else in our life is going to be right. The first thing the risen Christ taught His disciples was about forgiveness. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." Then He breathes on them in the Gospel of John and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are retained." And recall that night in the upper room when Jesus blesses them, and with the gift of peace, He sends them out to others, and He sends us out to others. We are sent with the gift of the Spirit, and we are challenged to be forgiving. And so friends, and I say friends as a serious word, let us pray for and help our friends and our family find the forgiveness that makes us whole. Amen. Now, I do have a special announcement which I need to let everyone know before the singing, before the benediction, but after the singing of the hymn, number 189, I am going to invite Nancy Bagwell to come forward as she transfers today. She wishes to reaffirm her membership vows. I'm not wearing a watch today, and that's fortuitous. I don't know how over time we are, but this is important. And we are going to have her reaffirm her vows in front of this congregation as she transfers in immediately after hymn number 189. Let us stand and sing.
Ruler of all nature, and
ask you to please be seated. And join me on page 46 as Nancy reaffirms her faith as she transfers into this congregation of the Church of God. Nancy, do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism?
I do.
Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe.
I ask the congregation to join me on the first lines of the responses, page 46. All, please. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you, Nancy, and congregation, believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And do you believe? Or unto the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. And Nancy and congregation, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And now do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church? And I do welcome you, having reaffirmed your faith, into this congregation. After the benediction, Nancy and I will go to the rear, and I'll ask you to remain seated for our special special choral benediction. Receive this blessing. Lord, we have been blessed by knowing and just beginning to understand the love that you have given us in Jesus Christ. Help us be a blessing to others. We have been forgiven. Help us be forgiving to others. We have been encouraged and given light to our path. Help us be encouragers of others and shed light onto the path of others. Help us share our faith, grow our faith, and grow your church as we continue Christ's ministry. In His name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord in holy songs, in holy songs.